Lord Jesus, with all humility, Lord, we bow our heads to the dust where you made us from. Lord, in respect, in honor, in adoration to thee, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that Master, you call us your home to be called the redeemed of the Lord. That is why you speak to us the way you speak to us, Lord. Not that we are worthy. We are most unworthy, Lord. It's just that you came on earth to save us, Lord. You counted us worthy. That is why we will be called your sons and your daughters. Lord Jesus, we are very, very grateful. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for speaking to us, Lord, in the Sunday school and the main service this morning. Thank you for all that you accomplished, O living God, in the midst of your people. Lord Jesus, we are not here for a picnic. Lord, we are here to check up with our soul salvation. Lord Jesus, help all of us, Lord. Lord, your word taught us that you are not a respecter of any persons, Lord. That is why the word, holy, even the word that preaches, Lord, is under the subjection of the word. Oh, living God, may you help us, Father. Give us your grace to humble ourselves, Lord, to obey your word, Father. Lord, may you have your way in our lives, Father. Have the preeminence, Lord Jesus. Lord, we commit this service to your great holiness. Help us, Heavenly Father. Take control, blessed Holy Spirit. Speak to our hearts, O living God. Teach us thy precepts, Father. Help us, Lord Jesus, where we need to correct our ways to correct to do the same, Master. Lord Jesus, if you want, you could have preached to, you could have used the moon to preach. You could have used the sun to preach. You could have used any other law, creation of thine to preach, Lord. But you have ordained that man should preach to man. Oh God, help us. Have your way in our lives, Father. Thank you for granting this request, Lord. At the end of this service, Lord Jesus, may we have every cause to glorify thy great holy name, Master. Thank you for granting this request, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. God bless you. You can have your seat while we open our Bible, our hymn book to hymn 101 before we open the Bible. Oh.
realm of nature mind, that while a present far too small, Lord, so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. May God help us. Let's rise on our feet as we take our Bible and read from the book of Matthew chapter 27 from verse 27 to 54. If God has ordained or planned it that the whole world should repent, or the whole world will repent, or the whole world will be saved, you know that God can do it. But God has not ordained it that way, that the whole world should be saved. Look at, sorry for keep, let's read the scripture. We'll say that after we read the scripture. That all just came to my heart yesterday. I was in the office alone, doing something in the office, when that thought came to my heart. Let's read the Bible. Matthew 27, from verse 27. When we get to verse 32, we see that and continue until we get to verse 54. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus unto the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knees before him and mocked him, saying, "Hey, King of the Jews!" And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. We can see that while we continue. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of his skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted the alcohol, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, "They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots." And sitting down there, they watched him, with the watch in there, and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by revived him, wagging their heads, and saying, "Thou that destroyed the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priest, mocking him with the scribe and the elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe on him." And we will believe him. Abraham said, that is the greatest compliment that will have been given to him. If he has saved himself, how shall we be saved? He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, "I am the Son of God." The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his stead. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Heli, Heli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let us see whether Elias will come to save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the heart did quake, and the rock rent, and the grave were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and come out of the grave. Ask for repentance. I was thinking yesterday, while in the office, that if God has planned it and ordained it that there should be earthquake for about 3 days, and death will run away from people, like the Bible said. Death will run away from people, yet there is earthquake, there is thunder, there is this for about 3 days. At least people will confess their sins. Praise the Lord. That reminds me of one of them. Somebody that stayed with us while we were in the Goma Church. I think it was, did it rain? I think it rained. Maybe I can't remember past very well. But all we know that then there was thunder. The thunder that you would feel at the back of the wall. It continued like that for about 10 minutes, if not more. You will feel it as if he wants to enter the house. I was praying, oh God, have mercy on us. Do you know that person that was staying with us was crying, repenting? I'm looking at, okay, can I get somebody that, apart from my wife? Blasphemy, where is blasphemy? Okay, it's not inside. She was crying. Do you know she ran back to Ibadan to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Praise the Lord. So if God wanted all the whole world to be saved, it's not difficult for God to do. He knows what to do. But God did it so simply until the whole world, he passed over the whole world. When Christ died on the cross at Calvary, may God help us. Though there was earthquake, but it just happened, and people take it as one of those earthquakes. If it had happened continuously like that for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, did you know that people of Noah repented? Yes, they repented. Well, after the rain had started falling, they started repenting. When they saw that this rain is getting, this is too much, is it not what Noah said? But they repented, but to go to the ark, it was too late. May that not be our portion. God did it so simply, but it has passed over the whole world. And you say it today, you can preach with all your heart, with all your soul, with everything today. People will just say, what is he saying? No problem. I said, we are not in a hurry on this sermon. That day on Calvary, we'll continue reading the prophets, trusting that God will make it a blessing. Praise the Lord. Now, I think last Wednesday we stopped where God was talking about sin started in heaven. He said the first thing he said that Calvary did was that he settled the sin question once and for all. He settled the sin question forever. That was what Calvary did. Praise the Lord. So let's continue from there, because this time, before you know it, before you see anything, time has gone. Now let's. That day on Calvary, September 25, 1960. Yes, September 25, 1960. That day on Calvary. Let's start from paragraph 47. Paragraph 47. And when sin struck the heart, back in the beginning, like a sheet of blackness falling from heaven, it literally paralyzed the heart. It threw every creature on the heart, all and all of God's creation in bondage. Man was under bondage of death, sickness, trouble, sorrow. All nature fell with it. Sin was an anesthetic that actually paralyzed the heart. And then we were set here hopeless, because every creature on earth was subject to it, and everyone born on earth was subject to it. So it had to come from some place where there was no sin. Like I said the other time, all of us were offspring of Adam and Eve. Nobody can pick any clean thing out of unclean. Nobody can save any each other. We are all in the same soup. But it took somebody that was not in that soup to come to save us. Brother said in the sermon, you must be born again. He said, here in this room, what it takes to release us in this room. He, baby, soldiers were here. They said barricade that nobody must leave this room until they get somebody to pay the ransom of $100 billion. Who is worth that here? Nobody. Even if one of us is worth that, he cannot do that because all of us are in it. But you have to tell somebody else that worth that to say, I pay for all these people. Let them go free. Praise the Lord. And that is what Christ Jesus did for us. Praise ye the Lord. So it had to come from some place where there was no sin. It could not come from the heart. One of us could not redeem the other. It had to come from another. Therefore, when man realized that he was separated from his God, he became a wanderer. They wept, they cried, they toiled, they wandered about through the mountains and through the desert, seeking a city whose builder and maker was God. For he knew that if he ever got back in the presence of God, he could talk it over with him. But there was no way back. He became lost. He didn't know which way to come. So he just took out wandering, trying to find somewhere that he could find a way back to that place. Something on the inside of him told him that he come from a place that was perfect. There is not a person here in this visible audience this morning or this evening or in the audience of the magnetic tape where it will go around the world. There is no one here or anywhere but once seek for that perfection. You get your beast spirit, you say, thank God, you get your beast spirit, you think, oh, that settled it. When you got your B pill, then there is somebody sick in your family. When the sickness gets all right, then you get more bills to pay. The old circle continues. Like Pastor said sometimes ago, he said, when we give back to a child, oh, praise God, we give back to a child. The day the child starts schooling, that's the thing. The day starts schooling. They beat it today. Do this, do that. By the time they get my church, he wants to be the first position. Primary school, finish. Secondary school, finish. University, finish. After finishing university, I want a job. Oh God, give me a job. After getting a job, oh God, I want to marry. Give me wife. After marrying, God, start to allow children. Today your child is sick. Oh, hospital. This. Hey, hello. Back over, Mister. Hey, hit my child. You continue like that. Before you know it, you are getting old. The old stuff not continues. Then what? Where is the perfection that we are talking about? May God help us. But we thank God that Calvary did something that settled that forever. Let's follow the prophet. The first thing you know, your hair is turning gray, and then you want to go back young. A old man wants to be young again. It's not, and if you're young again, it's not possible. Instead of thinking of how to please his God, He'll be thinking of how to make himself younger and prove to people that he's still young. He can still do this, do that. No wala. So then he wants to go back. He wants to be back young. And there is something all the time, constantly. And because of that, wave of sin, but in your heart, because that you seek for that, it shows that there is a perfection somewhere. Somewhere there is something. That's the reason many times today that a sinner, listen attentively, that's the reason many times today that a sinner is still wandering about. Not a Christian. A sinner is still what? Is still doing what? Wandering about. A beautiful young girl will cut off a locks of her hair to be what? Popular. Paint up her face to make her look pretty. Put on clothes to show the form of her being. Sisters, young sisters, let's read that together again. A beautiful young girl will cut off the locks of her hair. Thank God you don't do that. To be popular, paint up her face. Thank God you don't do that. To be popular, to make her look pretty. But, put on clothes to show the form of her being. When you wear a cloth that shows the form of your being, you are wrong. It becomes well. That's what Abraham said. Please help us. I like that. Show the form of our being. The form that God made you, you want to show it forth. What are you showing forth? You see, every young sister, every married sister that does that, you are wrong by the message. If my children do that, they are wrong. They are just being disobedient. There's no doubt about that. Because I told them. I tell them, if you wear a cloth that shows forth your form, you are wrong. That's what the message says. It's not me that says so. Why do you need to show forth your form? It used to be that our mothers, sometimes I wonder, you see, even outside, not even within us, even outside, sometimes I will see a woman with a young girl beside her. You look, sometimes they resemble their mother. But when they dress, you compare their dresses with the dress of their mother, they are too far away apart. Yeah, I wonder why. Why would sisters not have courage enough to train their children to dress the way they dress? Why would you encourage your children to dress the way they like? I wonder that. Even here we see it. Any cloth that you put on that shows the form of your body, you are wrong. That's the message. If my children does, I say it again, if my children do the same thing, they are wrong and they are being disobedient. Period. The word of God is no respecter of anybody. That's the message. So I wonder why you see the great vast difference between the mother and the child. So why would this sister teach this his daughter the way she should dress? They dress so badly. But here in our midst, we see you dress to show from your body. Why? It used to be that our elderly sisters, when they put on dress, they put on gown, it will almost look like figure one. Yes. And they take belt, they wear belts to make it look fit, make it look fine. But today, they want to show their dress to show their body. Why? Why? May God be merciful to us. They want to put on, what do they call this dress? Turtleneck. I told my daughter, you want to put on turtleneck, put on coat. Well, you might say that's his own idea, but look at what Brother Graham said here. Any cloth that you put on that shows you part of your body is wrong. You can say, Otunde, what? You can't go for. Well, let's continue. That shows the form of our being. Because today, okay, this is what I wanted to say. Today is no more a gun that will look like figure one. It's a gun that will look like figure eight. Yes, that's what they call it. Figure eight. That figure eight shows your form. That's it. Why? Figure eight is the language of the world. It's not the language of Christians. All right. If you are a sinner, you will show the form of your cloth. That's what Abraham is saying here. Form of your being. Because it's the only thing that she can find, finding somewhere to try to find something to come back to her. When she can cause men to whistle at her, wave at her, flirt with her. Young men will do the same thing to the woman. Try to make himself attractive to her. Neighbors will build a house and fix it in a certain way because it will look a little better than his neighbor's place. Is all the time we are seeking for something, and something keeps going just a little above it. The young lady will find another young lady is more popular than she. The neighbor will find a house that looks better than his. The woman will find another man dressed a certain way that looks better than she does. Is something in us that is seeking out for something, and it shows that we are lost. We want to find that something that will bring us to that satisfaction, that we find that spot of that we feel that spot of hunger in there, but seems like we can't find it. Human being tries it. They tried it through the ages. They worked for it. They cried. They done everything that they know how to do, but still, they didn't find it. Wandering about through the world. Finally, one day, that's that day of Calvary, there was one came down from glory, one by the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came from glory, and Calvary was formed. That was the day that the price was paid. And sin question was settled for what? Forever. Praise the Lord. Sin question was what? Settled forever. Like I asked on Wednesday, has the sin question been settled in your life? And it opened up the way up this, opened the way unto this thing that we are hungry and thirsty for. It brought a place of what? Satisfaction. Praise ye the Lord. It brought what? Satisfaction. You don't want to be like anybody. You just want to be yourself. You are not hungry and thirsty for the things of the world. You are only hungry and thirsty to be like Christ. Oh, mercy. But Abraham said, if all these young people want to be like Christ, he said, there will not be need for us to lock our doors. Praise the Lord. If all of us want to be like Christ, there is no need of you thinking that a brother will teach you or whatever. If all of us want to be like Christ, there is no need of fearing anything. May God help us. See, Calvary brought satisfaction to us. I don't care whatever anybody does. It doesn't move you to want to be running to be like anybody. You just want to be what God made you. Praise the Lord. There is no man that's ever visited Calvary, listen attentively. There is no man that ever visited Calvary and seen it the way it was that can ever be the same. Praise the Lord. Nobody. You go to Calvary the way you should go and see Calvary the way you should see it and then come back to be the same person. Lila. No way. You can't go there and come back the same. It's not possible. Everything that he ever desired or longed for is met when he reaches that place. It was such an important day and such an important thing. It shook the world. It shook the world like it was never shook before. When Jesus died at Calvary and paid the same question, this sinful world had a blackout. The sun went down in the middle of the day, had a nervous prostration, and the rock shook, the mountain rent, and the dead bodies busted from the grave. What did he do? God zeroed him on Calvary. He wounded that animal called Satan forever. Now he's been more vicious ever since then, because it brought light to the human race. And anyone knows that a wounded animal in his most is his most vicious, crawling around with his back broke. Praise the Lord. It means Brother said we will get there. Brother said that broke the backbone of Satan. Calvary did what? Broke the backbone of Satan. Satan is powerless before a Christian. Because Barbara said, when a Christian goes on his knees, what happened? The whole hell, the whole kingdom of Satan shake. Because he's talking to his heavenly Father. May God help us. We need to be Christians anyway. That's the thing. We need to be who? Christians. Not church members. Church members will take us nowhere. But Christ, to be a Christian is to be Christ-like. To be Christ-like is to be a Christian and to be heaven-bound. Praise the Lord. Now Satan was knocked out at Calvary. They have proof that it was the greatest price that was ever paid, and the only one that could pay it come and did it at Calvary. That's where the great price was paid. The price that you cannot pay. The price that I cannot pay. Christ Jesus paid it for us all at Calvary. Then we are free. Praise the Lord. Brother Bram said, when the Emancipation Proclamation was made in America, that all slaves in America, black America, were free. When it was said that so date, they will be free. Because Abraham Lincoln paid for that in America. What happened? The blacks, Barbara said, the young ones, the most young ones, they went to the top of the mountain looking for the rising of the sun. Because it is said that at the rising of the sun, they will be free of so date. They were looking for the rising of the sun. This day will be free. This day will be free. And that's when, that a day before, they went, like a day before, they went to the mountains. What were they looking for? Looking for the rising of the sun. The elderly ones that could not climb to the top of the mountain, they climbed to a certain place in the mountain. The most elderly ones stayed at the bottom of the mountain. What were they looking for? The rising of the sun. Praise ye the Lord. And when the sun rose for the first time, the young ones that were on top of the mountain were the ones that first saw it. They said, "We are free." And they echoed it down until they get to the bottom. That the sun has risen. We are free. Praise the Lord. And the S-O-N of God has risen. Therefore, we are what? We are free. Praise the Lord. We can no longer be kept bound by the enemy. It is to as many as believe that they are free. It is to as many as can go to Calvary and know that this thing was done for me. I was saying at Bagatari, I said, Baba said, sin killed him. Is that not true? That's true. It's sin that killed him. And it is not his own sin. It is your sin and my sin. Because he carried your sin and my sin to the cross and laid it on the cross, all of us have to go to that place and say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. That it was my sin that made you to come to Calvary to die on the cross at Calvary. Forgive me. And then what? You receive your pardon. May God help us. That is why you say that this man is gentle, this man is religious. We got made that one to go to hell because he's not a Christian. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that he did what? That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Whosoever. Brother said, if God has put there, for God so loved the world that he gave his only beloved Son, that if William Branham will come to it, he will be saved. He will not perish but have everlasting life. He said he will be afraid to believe that. Because that William Branham might not be his own William Branham. It might be somebody else's William Branham. So he will not have enough confidence to claim that. But what the Bible says, whosoever, praise the Lord, it means whosoever, wherever the person comes from, let it be from anywhere in the world, the most hidden place in the world, let him accept that, let him be that whosoever. He will not perish, he will have everlasting life. Praise the Lord. So if anybody will not go to Calvary, they can't be saved. I don't care how religious they are, how pious they might be. So the greatest price that was ever paid, and the only one that could pay it, come and done it, did it on Calvary. That's where the great price was paid. That's one of the things. God had required it. No man was worthy. No man was able. No man could do it. And God came himself and was made human and lived a human life under human desires and was crucified at Calvary. Satan thought he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't go through it. He went through Gethsemane, and every temptation any man ever stood, he went through it just like all men, but he paid the price. Praise the Lord. And that is what black the art out was like an anesthetic for an operation. When a doctor gives a man an anesthetic, he first knocks him out before he could do it. And when God gave the operation for the church, the word got an anesthetic, nature had a conversion. No wonder God, in human flesh, was dying. It was the power that the world had looked for. Yet, many of them did not know it. That's what we are saying. The whole world is looking for a savior. The whole world is looking for a Messiah to come and save us from all these world problems. But the Messiah came, and they are the very one that spit on him. They are the very one that slapped him. They are the very one that nailed him to the cross. They are the only one that pierced him in the side. They are the very one that did all that they did to him. Yet, he was their creator, the Messiah that he sent to the world. But he passed over their head. What they were looking for came, yet they rejected him and crucified him. May God help us. May we not miss the view of our visitation. Abraham said, man always thank God for what he has done. They will thank God for what he's going to do in the future. But what God is doing presently, they ignored it. Like it is today, many have looked for these things, and yet they don't recognize them. They don't realize the way out. They are still trying to seek pleasures and things of the world, trying to find their way out. There was been many signposts that pointed to that day. Many great foreshadows. It had been foreshadowed by the lamb, by the bullock, but by the tortoise, and all these things. But yet, it could not break it. It could not break that death hold where Satan had the heart. The very rock that he once walked up and down on the earth, burning brimstone, Lucifer was the son of the morning, and he walked on the heart when it was a burning volcano. Those same rock that had cooled off. When Jesus died at Calvary, belched forth out of the heart. The price was paid, and the bondage of Satan was broke. God put back into the hand of man a way back to what he was looking for. He had to weep no more. It when he broke the backbone of Satan there at Calvary, the backbone of sin, of sickness, and it brings every mortal being on the heart back into the presence of God with sins forgiven. Hallelujah. Our sins are forgiven. No more can Satan black us off from God. Praise the Lord. Our sins are forgiven. Satan can no more block us away from getting to our God. The way has been paid. God is now in our hearts. Therefore, to approach to God is not difficult anymore. Praise ye the Lord. There is a highway made. There is a telephone setting there. There is a line to glory. You remember the song that Brother Osas used to praise? How many remember that song? That song. Yes. I think maybe they got inspiration from there. There is a highway made. There is a telephone setting there. There is a line to glory. Brings every person in reach of that line. If a man is full of sin, it connected him in on central. He can be forgiven of that sin. Not only that, but that sin is paid for. Oh, you don't have to say, I am not worthy. Sure, you are not. You never could be. But a worthy one took your place. You are free. You don't have to wonder anymore. You don't have to be a pleasure-seeking man out here on earth. For there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from a man's vein, where sinners plod beneath the blood, lose all their guilty stain. Praise the Lord. You don't have to be lost. There is a highway and a way, and it's called the way of holiness. The unclean don't pass over it, for he comes through the fountain first, and then he enters this highway. And that Bible called it a way. He broke the power of sin. He opened the prison door of hell to every man that was shut up in this heart, in the prison, fearing that when he died, what death will be to him. On Calvary, he opened those cells door. Let every captive go free. You don't have to no longer be torn down by sin. You don't have to no longer yield your member to sin. Drinking, smoking, gambling, telling lies, you can be honest, just, and upright, and Satan can do nothing about it. Praise the Lord. I love that. Let me read that again. On Calvary, he opened those cell doors. Let every captive go free. You don't have to no longer be torn down by sin. You don't have to no longer yield your member to sin. Drinking, smoking, gambling, telling lies. You can be honest, just, and upright, and Satan can do nothing about it because you have got a hold of a lie. Oh, praise ye the Lord. A lifeline that's anchored in the rock of ages. Nothing can shake you from it. No wind can shake you from it. No nothing, not even death itself, can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. That's what Calvary meant. Praise the Lord. Men that were in bondage were set free. Men that were once under fear of death can no longer fear death. Praise ye the Lord. When they talk about death, everybody is fearful, afraid. Yeah. But a Christian knows that the moment he closes his eye, he is going to a better place. May God help us. We don't have to fear death. All right. Okay. Yeah, paragraph 65. Men that were in bondage were set free. Men that were once under the fear of death can no longer fear death. A man who longs for a city whose builder and maker, God, he can step on the highway and set his face toward heaven because he is free. Hallelujah. He is redeemed. He don't need no wandering no more. For there is a way of knowing whether you are right or not. God gives us life. Our sins are gone. That day at Calvary paid the price. When we see all that, no wonder the poet wrote, mid rending rock and darkening skies, my Savior bowed his head and died. The holy day revealed the way to heaven's joy and endless day. Abraham don't have to wander no more across the country seeking a city. The sinners don't have to wonder anymore whether he can be saved or not. The sick man don't have to wonder whether he can be healed or not. The opening day on that day at Calvary revealed the way to the total victory. God gives us the power of his spirit to live triumphantly over all these things. Ask us only to do what? Believe it. Praise the Lord. It's not a serious thing we have to do. Only believe. Look and be saved. That's all. Look and be saved. You don't need to do any special thing. It's as simple as that. Only we got to do this to do what? Believe it and surrender yourself under the leadership of the word of God. When God says, this is not right for a child of God, you throw it away. You move on. When God says, do this, you humble yourself and you do it and go on. When God says, this way you should pass, you humble yourself and go on the path. Though it might be contrary to your own thinking that this might not be better. You see, I was saying on Wednesday that human beings think they are wiser than God. That is what Satan, their father, did. He wants to create, make a kingdom that is better than the way God had it. Rabbi said that started the trouble. You see, the reason why it is a sin for us to think we are wiser than God is because you don't believe that word of God. That is why you want to do it your own way. And that unbelief makes you a sinner. Yes, sir. Only believe it. That happened on that day at Calvary. There never was a day like it. There never will be one like it anymore. It's not necessary no more. The price is paid, and we are redeemed. Thanks be to God, we are redeemed. There is no more you have to wonder about. There is no more guessing about it. It is all taken away. The veil pulled back the curtain, and we are set on a highway, not to wonder anymore, but to believe and just walk right on. We walk right into God's very presence. Abraham knew, and others knew, that while they were seeking a city, they knew they were from somewhere. Something had happened. They were living in a paralyzed act. Heartquake came, storms came, wars and killings. The wolf and the lamb fed. Storm come, wars and killing. The wolf and the lamb fed on one another, or the wolf fed on the lamb, and the lion eat the ox. It doesn't look right. There is something wrong. He knew there was something wrong. Men and brother kill brother. Father kill son, and son kill father. There is something wrong. He is getting old. He is dying. He is withering away. Sickness is on him. He is a bondage. The tree grow, but not immortal. They die. The mountain change. The seas dry up. The waters fail. There is something wrong. And he sought a place, a city that didn't happen. That didn't happen no more. He knew if he could ever get back into the presence of the one that made it right, he could talk it over with him. Oh, what a privilege, sinner, it is this morning to know that you got the way now. That day at Calvary opened up the way for all those patrons hunted for and sought for. Calvary gave it to you free. Praise the Lord. What those patrons were looking for, what Abraham was looking for, a city whose maker and builder was God. What Job was looking for, everything they were looking for, Calvary brought it down to us free. Praise the Lord. Then why should we forsake that place? Why should we look down or not consider it rightly the way we should look at Calvary? Why? Oh, mercy. It's on your laps, brothers. It's on your laps, sisters. God has made a way for us to be free. God has done everything that he needs to do for us to be free. He sent his son to die for us on the cross at Calvary. And in this age, he has given us the very message of his heart to give us, to teach us the way how to get to this Calvary. The right way to look at Calvary and to be saved and to be free. This message has brought it down to us. The right way to be born again. This message has taught us. He taught us that we have to die to our own ideas. Die to everything for us to live the life of Christ. That is what Abraham said in "You Must Be Born Again." He said we have to die and run to your ideas. That's what he said. You have to die to your own and forget your ideas and take the will of God. If you keep your ideas, you are not there, you can never receive the Holy Ghost. That's the truth. You've got to die to your ideas. The way you see it, the way it should be done, the way this, that's why I don't know. May God help us. The best way for anything to be done is the way of the world. That's the best way, that's the best wisdom. Wisdom is justified, Jesus Christ said, of his children. It is only God's children that will justify God to be right. No matter whichever way God passes to correct them, to instruct them, to tell them anything, to God's children, wisdom, God's wisdom is the right wisdom. That's why Jesus Christ said, wisdom is justified of his children. Even when Jesus Christ told that woman, it is not good to give the children's bread to dog, that woman said, yes, Lord. I'm not looking for the bread. I'm looking just for the crumbs. Faith will acknowledge the word of God to be right. But when we have our own way and our own ideas, where it should be done, what is it? Is this bad? This is not bad now. This is okay. This is not tight. This is not this. This is not that. It's an idea. What the word of God says is first, your own idea, you should kill it, let it die. May God help us. 167. As we close. The whole world is cross. About this is why we sing this song. And those who bowed down our heads and talked to our Lord. The one who died for you on the cross at Calvary. The one who was thinking about you, who thought of you. And because of the thought that he had about you, he had to leave glory to come and die for you on the cross at Calvary. Why don't you think about that? Why don't you commit yourself unto the Lord? The one who counted you worthy to be called his hope, to come and die for you on the cross at Calvary. Why don't you surrender your life unto him this evening? Is he not worthy of you to surrender your life unto him? Is he not worthy to take the blameless in your life? Is he not worthy to take the oversight about your life? Why are you holding your life to yourself? Why don't you surrender your life unto him right now? As you call upon him. To be married in prayer. Why don't you raise up your hand so that his servant will pray for us? So I invite his servant.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this time we have been in your presence for this last service of the day, for the continuation of this sermon that day on Calvary. Lord, all our life is hung on the achievement that you did for us at Calvary. God, that's where every debt was paid. Lord, we inherited debt of death, of sickness, of sorrow, of eternal separation from our forefathers. But Lord, you came to bridge the gap and join us back to our Maker. We are grateful to you. We bless your name, O God, for as many of us as have found, Lord, their way to Calvary and have gotten an experience with you and know the importance of the day of Calvary. And by your grace, reaping the benefits of what Calvary has brought. There are still some, no doubt, who it is still just a story to, who have not seen the effect of it or even catch the real understanding and revelation of the same. We want to ask at this hour, as many as of such are your own children, may you tear the veil of unbelief, of doubt, of indifference, of sin, of anything the enemy might want to put on their face. May you tear it off, Heavenly Father. We pray, dear God, that you bring Calvary into plain view before each and every one of your children. Grant it, Heavenly Father. You did not go to die so that people can pity you, so that they can know that you can die and raise up again. But you came for a purpose, and that is what you came to accomplish. Dear Father, we pray that your effort, your sacrifice, your suffering, your death will not be in vain in the life of any of us. Grant it, dear Father. Those who raise up their hand definitely have one reason or the other why the hand has gone up. And those that came to the altar came for a purpose. And you, O God, that knows all things, you are the only one that knows the very reason behind every request. We pray that you attend to the request and grant unto your children as they have need of. Thank you, dear Father. Lord Jesus, may you help us, Lord, to think of Calvary every day and to live for Calvary every day. Bless your servant that you have used and replenish him and recall him and lift up the honor of his ministry. Lord, this sermon may never become common to us, but when the revelation of it continue to be fresh on daily basis as we hear it, dear Father. Thank you, gracious Lord. All that you have done for us today, we appreciate it. We pray that these blessings will be permanent in our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. And this new week that has started, you are the only one that knows the end of the week from this beginning. We just commit ourselves into your hand, that you will guide our feet, you will hold our hands, you will protect us from all evil, you will shield us from every snare of the enemy. Your mercy and your favor will go before us. Bless our going out and coming in. Those who travel, may you protect them, Father. May you bless the business people. May you watch over students. May you be with workers, O Father. Bless each one, Lord. Let the sick be well this week, dear Father. May each one of us enjoy good and perfect health. Provide for the needs of your people. Lord, what to eat, what to put on. All these things that your word said, that which you after it be satisfied. May we never lack them, dear Father. Thank you, righteous Father. Lord, the program of this week, they are all in your hand. The service on Wednesday and the wedding on Saturday. We pray that everything will be a blessing. May everything go smoothly, Lord. Especially the wedding, we pray, Father, you grant your mercy to those who will travel. Lord, after the wedding, going back, may you also take them safely. May everything go smoothly, Lord. Who ask for fair weather, may you grant it, O God. Thank you, righteous Father. Be with the couple, Lord, that as they come together on Saturday to become husband and wife, may they never regret it. May you be with them and bless them and grant their desires. And all the days of their life, may they live for you. Thank you, eternal Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. All that you have used today to be a blessing to your people, we pray you bless them in return. Everywhere the service has been heard today, the blessing your children have received, may you make it permanent in their life. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' most wonderful name, we pray that as we go back to our homes, you brought us safely, take us back home safely. Lord, and give us a wonderful week. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. God bless you. This week, as we all know, is the week of the wedding, the second wedding we have been announcing. So today is the Valedictory Sunday of Sister Esther Anero here. By next Sunday, like this, what is being called, as you should be at Peter, and they become their permanent member there. So we pray the Lord will be with her and bless her as she goes. And any part that we are called upon to play, let's do it with all our heart. And the one you are not called upon to play, don't go and call confusion there. May the Lord be our help. No, both used to happen. Sometimes you ask people to do something, they won't do it. And sometimes you ask somebody else to see how you want to stay in this place. And when they get to that place, just scatter the whole place. May the Lord be our help. Especially when it comes to real food, everybody wants to be food vendor and serving and whatever. You know, if there is arrangement, people that are asked to serve, let those ones, if they are around, let them serve. But if they are not around, then they could be replaced. But no matter how much you see that, don't just go and become chairman there. If you are not invited to come there, you will become a personal non grata in the place. May the Lord be our help. I know that people don't used to like when I go this way, but me, when I see that something is to be said, I will say it anyhow. Whether I have more for that, God bless you. I say, God bless you. Calvary has set me free. He took away all my sin and opened my eyes to the truth of his word. Calvary has set me free. He has set me free. Calvary has set me free. He took away all my sin and he opened my heart to the truth of his word. Calvary has set me free. Calvary has set me free. Calvary has set me free. He took away all my sin and he opened my eyes to the truth of his word. Calvary has set me free. We don't know the chorus. Before the Yoruba version, if you know it, raise up your hand. Calvary has set me free. And not be all of us be Yoruba here. You must learn. What is wrong with you? Everybody not be Yoruba, you must learn. Calvary has set me free. Jesus took away all my sins. He opened my eyes to the truth of his word. Calvary has set me very simple chorus. Calvary has set me free.